We might be hundreds of miles from Bezgaith, but I've never felt more at home. It's early evening 2 days later, just after dinner, when Rhiannon and I climb out our first-story window and drop to the ground. Mira's out on patrol, and as wonderful as it's been to have her close, this is our only chance. We're on our way.
Don't get caught, Tarn warns.
Trying not to. Rhiannon and I sneak along the battlement wall, turning the corner toward the field. I run into Mira so hard that I bounce backward.
Shit, Rhiannon exclaims as she catches me. Don't you at least check the corners?
Mira lectures, folding her arms over her chest and staring me down in a way I might deserve. Fine, I definitely deserve.
In my defense, I didn't think you'd be there, I say slowly, because you're supposed to be on patrol.
You were acting super weird at dinner. She tilts her head to the side and studies me just like we're kids again, seeing way too much. So I switched shifts. Do you want to tell me what you're doing outside the walls? I glance at Rhiannon, and she looks away.
Neither of you? Really?
She sighs and rubs the bridge of her nose.
You two need to sneak out of a heavily fortified defensive position because...
I look up at Rhiannon. She's going to figure it out anyway. She's like a bloodhound with stuff like this. Trust me. My stomach clenches. Rhiannon tilts her chin.
We're flying to my family's house.
Mira blanches.
You think you're what?
We're flying to her village. It's like a 5-minute flight, according to Tarn, and
I start. Absolutely not. Mira shakes her head. Nope, you cannot fly off like you're on vacation.
What if something happens to you? At her parents' house? I ask slowly, because there's some major ambush planned on the off chance that we might just be dropping in?
Mira's eyes narrow. Shit, this is not going well, and given the death grip Rhiannon has on my arm now, she doesn't think so either.
We'd be in less danger visiting her parents than we are at Bezgaith, I argue.
Mira's lips purse. Fair point.
Come with us, I blurt. Seriously, come with us, Mira. She just wants to see her sister.
Mira's shoulders dip. She's softening, and I mercilessly go in for the kill.
Reagan was pregnant when Rhiannon left. Can you imagine not being there with me if I had a kid? Wouldn't you do anything, including escape a heavily fortified defensive position, if that meant holding your niece or nephew?
My nose scrunches as I brace for her answer.
Besides, with the hero of Strythmore at our side, what could possibly go wrong?
Don't even start with that. She looks at me, then Rhiannon, then back at me again before groaning.
Oh, fucking fine.
Her finger comes out swinging when we both grin.
But if you even think about telling anyone, I'll make you regret it for the rest of your natural life.
She means it, I whisper. I believe it, Rhiannon answers.
You're here 2 days and already breaking the rules, Mira mutters. Come on, it's quicker to cut down this path.
An hour later, Mira and I are stretched out on the cushioned benches that flank both sides of the dining table at Reagan's house, watching Rhiannon rock her nephew by the fireplace, lost in conversation with her sister as her parents and brother-in-law look on from the nearby couch. Watching them reunite is worth everything.
Thank you for helping us.
I glance over the table at Mira.
You would have done it with or without me.
Her smile is soft as she watches the family, curling her hand around the pewter mug of wine Rhiannon's mom was kind enough to bring earlier.
Figured at least this way I'd know you're safe.
What other rules have you broken, sis? She sips her wine and cuts a look my way. A smirk tugs at my mouth as I lift one shoulder.
Maybe a few here and there. I've gotten very good at poisoning my opponents before challenges.
Mira nearly spits out her wine, slamming her hand over her mouth. I laugh,
crossing one booted ankle over the other. Not what you were expecting? Respect shines in her eyes. I honestly don't know what I expected. I was just desperate for you to live. And then you went and not only bonded one of the most powerful dragons alive, but a feather tail, too. She shakes her head. My baby's sister is a badass. Not sure Mom would agree with that. I rub my thumb over the handle of my mug. I'm not exactly manifesting a signet yet. I'm solid at grounding and can hold a pretty strong shield, but I can't tell her the rest, the gift Andarna has given, at least for now, to me. If I don't manifest my signet soon, we both know what will happen. She quietly studies me in that way she has, then says, here's the thing. If you want your signet to manifest, then stop blocking it by thinking it has anything to do with Mom. Your power is yours and yours alone, Vi. I squirm under the scrutiny and change the subject, my gaze dropping to her neck. How did that happen? Griffin, she answers, nodding, near the village of Cranston about 7 months ago. Thing came out of nowhere in the middle of a village raid. The wards went down, and usually my signet gives me a little immunity from the enemy wielders, but not their fucking birds. Took the healers hours to stitch me up, but it gave me a pretty cool scar. She tilts her chin to show it off. Cranston? I think back over the battle briefs. We never learned about that one. Common sense tells me to shut my mouth. You what? She takes another drink. I think there's way more going on along the borders than what we're told, I admit quietly. Mira lifts her brows. Well, of course there is. You don't expect Battle Brief to relay classified information, do you? You know better than that. And honestly, at the rate our borders are being attacked, they'd have to devote all day to Battle Brief in order to dissect each assault. That makes sense. Do you guys get all the information? Only what we need. Like, I could have sworn I saw a riot of dragons across the border during the attack, she shrugs, but questions about secret operations are above my pay grade. Think of it this way. If you were a healer, would you need to know the details about everyone else's patients? I shake my head. No. Exactly. Now tell me, what the fuck is going on between you and Dane? I've seen less tension on a crossbow, and I don't mean the good kind. She gives me a look that leaves no room for excuses. I needed to change in order to survive. He wouldn't let me. It was the simplest explanation for the last 9 months. I got his friend Amber killed. She was a wingleader, and honestly, everything with Zayden just pushed us so far apart that I don't know how to repair our friendship. Not to what it was, at least. The execution of that wingleader is common knowledge. You didn't get her killed. She got herself killed by breaking the codex. Mira studies me for a quiet moment. Is it true Ryerson saved you that night? I nod. Zayden is a complicated subject. So complicated that I can't identify my own feelings. Thinking of him only jumbles me in a way that leaves me tangled in knots. I want him, but I can't trust him. Not in the ways I want to. And yet in other ways, he's the person I trust most. I hope you know what you're doing there. Her grip tightens on her mug. Because I distinctly remember warning you to steer clear of that traitor's son. My stomach turns at Mira's description of Zayden. Taryn clearly didn't heed the warning. She snorts. But really, if Zayden hadn't shown up that night, or if I hadn't been sleeping in the armor? I pause and lean forward to touch her hand. I can't even begin to tell you how many times you've saved my life without even being there. Mira smiles. Glad it worked. I swear it took an entire molting season to collect all those scales. Have you thought of telling Mom about it? Getting them made for all riders? I told my leadership. She leans back and takes another drink. They said they're looking into it. We watch Rhiannon kiss her nephew's perfect chubby cheeks.
I've never seen a family this happy, I admit. Even when Brennan and Dad were alive, we weren't like that.
No, we weren't. A sad smile curves her mouth as she looks at me. But I can remember plenty of nights we spent curled around the fire with Dad and that book you love.
Ah, yes, the book you made me leave in my old bedroom. I arch a brow.
You mean the book I snagged just in case Mom got a wild hair and decided to clean out your things while you were in the quadrant? Her smile morphs into a grin.
I have it at Montserrat. Figured you'd be pissed if you graduated and it was gone.
I mean, whatever would you do if you forgot a minute detail of how the gallant riders took out the army of Wyvern and the Venon who sucked the land dry of magic?
I blink.
Shit, I can't remember.
But I guess I'll be able to read it again soon.
A bubble of joy rises in my chest.
You are the best.
I'll give it to you at the outpost. She leans back and gives me a thoughtful look.
I know they're just stories. But I never used to get why the villains would choose to corrupt their souls and become Venon. And now?
Her brow furrows.
Now you empathize with the villain? I tease.
No. She shakes her head. But we have the kind of power people would kill for, Violet. Dragons and griffins are the gatekeepers. And I'm sure that to someone jealous enough, ambitious enough, risking a soul would be a fair price for the ability to wield.
Her shoulders rise as she shrugs.
Just makes me glad our dragons are so discerning and our wards keep the griffin riders at bay. Who the hell knows what kind of people those furry creatures choose?
We stay another hour, until we know we're risking exposure if we stay a minute longer. Then Mira and I give Rhiannon some privacy to say goodbye to her family and head out of the house into the humid night. Taryn has been uncharacteristically quiet the last couple of hours.
Have you been stationed with any riders of mated pairs? I ask Mira as I close the door behind us.
One, she answers, her eyes narrowing on the darkened path in front of the house.
Why?
I'm just wondering how long they can be separated.
Turns out, about 3 days is their max. Zayden steps out of the shadows.
Chapter 27. A quote from Recommendation for Award from S.R.O. Major Potsdam to General Sorengale.
For valor above and beyond the call of duty in the Battle of Strivemore, where her bravery resulted not only in the destruction of a battery behind enemy lines, but also saved the lives of an entire company of infantry, I recommend Mira Sorengale receive the Star of Navarre. But if the criterion is not met, which I assure you it has been, downgrading to the Order of the Talon would be a shame, but sufficient.
So all we do is wait for something to happen? Riddick asks the next afternoon, leaning back in his chair and putting his boots on the end of the wooden table that runs the length of the briefing room.
Yes, Mira says from the head of the table, then flicks her wrist and sends Riddick flying backward.
And keep your feet off the table.
One of the Montserrat riders laughs, changing the markers on the large map that consumes the only stone wall in the curved, windowed room. This is the highest turret in the outpost, offering unmatched views of the Espen mountain range around us. We've been split into two groups for the day. Rhiannon, Sawyer, Sienna, Nadine, and Heaton spent the morning with De Vera in this room, studying previous battles at the outpost, and are now out on patrol. Dane, Riddick, Liam, Emery, Quinn, and I
spent the morning on a 2-hour flight around the surrounding area, with one extra tag-along, Zayden. He's been the worst kind of distraction since arriving last night. Dane won't stop glaring at him and making snide remarks. Mira keeps one eye on him at all times as well, suspiciously quiet since last night. And me? I can't seem to keep my eyes to myself. There's a palpable energy in every room he enters, and it brushes over my skin like a caress each time our eyes meet. Even now, I'm aware of every breath he takes as he sits next to me midway down the table.
Consider this your battle brief, Mira continues, side-eyeing Riddick as he scrambles back into his chair. This morning was about a quarter of the patrol we'd regularly fly, so normally, we'd just be getting back about now and reporting our findings to the commander. But for the sake of killing time, since we're in this room as the reaction flight for this afternoon, let's pretend we'd come across a newly fortified enemy outpost crossing our border. She turns to the map and sticks a pin with a small crimson flag near one of the peaks about 2 miles from the Signesan borderline. Here.
We're supposed to pretend it just popped up overnight? Emery asks, openly skeptical.
For the sake of argument, third year? Mira narrows her eyes on him, and he sits up a little straighter.
I like this game, another one of the Montserrat riders says from the end of the table, lacing his fingers behind his neck.
What would our objective be? Mira glances around the table, noticeably skipping Zayden. Last night, she'd taken one look at the rebellion relic on his neck and walked by without saying a word.
Atos?
Dane startles from where he was glowering across the table at Zayden and turns to face the map.
What type of fortifications are there? Are we talking a haphazard wooden structure or something more substantial?
Like they had time to build a fortress overnight, Riddick mutters. It has to be wooden, right?
You are all so fucking literal, Mira sighs and rubs her thumb over her forehead. Fine, let's say they occupied a keep that's already established, stone and all.
But the civilians didn't call for help?
Quinn asks, scratching her pointed chin. Protocol calls for a distress signal this far into the mountains. They should have lit their distress beacon, alerting patrolling riders, at which time the dragons on patrol would have told all available dragons in the area. The very riders in this room would have mounted first, as the reaction force, and the others would have been woken from their rests, allowing the riders to prevent the loss of the keep in the first place.
Mira scoffs and braces her hands on the end of the table, staring us all down. Everything you're taught at Besgaeth is theory. You analyze past attacks and learn those very theoretical combat maneuvers. But things out here don't always go according to plan. So why don't we talk about all the ways things can go sideways, so you'll know what to do when they do, as opposed to arguing that the keep shouldn't have fallen. Quinn shifts her weight uncomfortably. How many of you have been called out as third years? Mira stands straight, folding her arms over her black leathers and the strap that holds her sword to her back. Emery and Zayden raise their hands, though Zayden's is barely a gesture. Dane looks like his head is about to explode.
That's not correct. We're never called into service until graduation.
Zayden presses his lips in a tight line and nods, giving him a sarcastic thumbs up.
Yeah, all right, Emery laughs. Just wait until next year. I can't count how many times we're the ones sitting in these very rooms in the Midland forts because their riders have been called to the front for an emergency.
The color drains from Dane's face.
Now that's settled, Mira reaches under the table and pulls out a set of models, putting a 6-inch stone keep in the center of the table.
Catch! One by one, she tosses painted wooden models of dragons at us, keeping one for herself. Pretend Messina and Exal don't exist back there, and we're the only squad available to take back that keep. Think of the power in this room. Think of what each individual rider brings to the table
and how you'd use those powers in unison to conquer your objective.
But they don't teach that to first years, Liam says slowly from the other side of me.
Mira glances at the whirls of magic on his wrist, but to Liam's credit, he doesn't tug his sleeve down. It's hard to remember sometimes that the third years are the first riders who will serve with the children of the leaders of the Tirish Uprising. An uprising that could have left our borders eventually defenseless and the innocent people of Navarre war casualties. Everyone in this room has become accustomed to Liam, Imogen, even Zayden, but those in active service have never flown with anyone marked by a rebellion relic. The Tirish riders who remained loyal to Navarre during the uprising were promoted, not punished, and the riders who turned against king and country were killed or executed. And just like my grief at Brennan's loss was directed at Zayden that first day on the parapet, there will be more than one rider who misdirects their own anger at marked riders. I clear my throat. Mira's gaze meets mine, and I lift an eyebrow at her in clear warning. Don't fuck with my friends. Her eyes widen ever so slightly, and she directs her attention back to Liam. They might not teach you this battle strategy as first years, because you're all busy trying to stay on your dragons. You had your first taste of strategy during the squad battle, and it's almost May, which means final war games should be beginning, right?
2 weeks, Dane answers.
Good timing, then.
Not all of you will survive the games if you're not prepared. She holds my gaze for a beat. This kind of thinking will give your squad, your entire wing, an advantage, since I guarantee your wing leader is already assessing every rider for their own abilities. Zayden flips his dragon model over his knuckles but doesn't reply. He hasn't spoken a word to Mira since arriving.
So let's do this, Mira stands back. Who is in command? She glances toward Quinn.
And let's pretend that I don't have 3 years of seniority on even the highest ranked of you.
Then I'm in command. Dane sits up straight, his chin rising a good inch.
Our wing leader is here, Liam argues, pointing at Zayden. I would say that puts him in command.
We can pretend I'm not here, just for the sake of the exercise. Zayden sets his dragon on the table and leans back in his chair, draping his arm across the back of mine, a move that makes Dane grit his teeth.
Give Atos here the position we all know he craves.
Don't be a dick, I whisper.
You haven't even seen me start to be a dick.
My head turns so fast that it swims, and my mouth drops open as I stare at the side of Zayden's face. That was his voice in my fucking head. He turns, the golden flecks in his eyes catching the light, and I swear I hear him laughing in my mind, though his lips are closed, tilted in that pulse-quickening smirk of his.
You're staring. It's going to get awkward in about 30 seconds if you don't stop.
How? I hiss.
The same way you talk to Sigale. We're all gloriously, annoyingly linked. This is just one of the perks. Though I'm starting to wish I'd tried it sooner, the look on your face is priceless.
He winks and turns back to the table. He fucking winked. And is that a hint of a smile?
You're the wing leader. Every word Dane speaks comes out through clenched teeth.
I'm not even supposed to be here, Zayden shrugs. But if it makes you feel better for the purpose of war games, you'd be getting your orders from your section leader, Garrick Tavis, which he'd get from me. You'll be carrying out your maneuvers as a squad for the good of the wing. Just pretend I'm another member of your squad and use me as you wish, Atos.
Zayden folds his arms across his chest.
I glance at Mira, who's watching the play-by-play with raised brows.
Why are you even here? Dane challenges.
No offense, sir, but we weren't exactly expecting senior leadership on this trip.
You're more than aware that Sigale and Tairn are mated.
3 days? Dane fires back, leaning in. You couldn't make it 3 days?
It has nothing to do with him, I interrupt, setting my dragon down with a little more force than necessary. That's up to Tarn and Sigale.
You never considered that it was you I couldn't stay away from?
I crook my right arm and jab it into Zayden's biceps. He doesn't mean that, not when he's still adamant that kissing me was a mistake. And if he does, I'm not going there.
Now, you'll give our little communication secret away if you can't keep from being so violent.
He barely restrains a smile, obviously loving that he gets the last word. I need to figure out how the hell he's doing it so I can mentally argue back.
Of course you rush to defend him. Dane hurls a hurt glare at me.
Though how can you forget that this guy wanted to kill you 6 months ago is beyond me.
I blink up at him.
I cannot believe you went there.
Good job remaining professional, Atos. Zayden scratches the relic on his neck. I'm all but certain doesn't actually itch. Really shows those leadership qualities to their best advantage.
One of the riders down the table whistles low.
Do you boys just want to whip it out and measure? It would be faster.
Liam smothers a laugh, but his shoulders shake.
Enough! Mira slams her hands on the table.
Oh, come on, Sorengale, the rider down the table whines with a wide smile. Both Mira and I look his way.
I mean, the older Sorengale. This is the best entertainment we've had in ages.
I shake my head and look around the table. Mira has the ability to extend the shield if the wards are down. So the first thing I would do is send her to scout the area with Tiny. We need to know if we're dealing with infantry or griffin riders.
Good.
Mira moves her dragon closer to the castle. Now let's assume there are griffins.
Do you want to do your job? I ask Dane, smiling sweetly.
I mean, how can you forget you're the squad leader is beyond me?
His hand clenches around his own dragon as he rips his gaze from mine. Quinn, can you astral project from the back of your dragon?
Yes, she answers.
Then I would have you project into the fortress to check for signs of weakness, Dane orders, and have you report back. Same with Liam. We'd use your far sight to see if you can locate where the griffin riders are, and if there are any traps.
Good. The weaknesses are the wooden gate, Mira notes as Quinn and Liam move their dragons into position, and the Navarian citizens they have captive in the dungeons.
So much for blasting the whole place, Riddick says.
You're an air wielder, right? Dane asks Emery. So you can shape your dragon's flames and lead them through the occupied parts of the keep without killing civilians?
Yes, Emery answers. But I'd have to be in the keep.
Then you'll have to get into the keep, Mira says with a shrug.
Emery's eyes widen. You want me to leave my dragon and go on foot?
Why do you think we all get that hand-to-hand training? Or are you going to leave all those innocent people to die? Mira flicks her wrist and Emery's dragon goes flying out of his hand and into hers. She puts it in the center of the keep. The real question is, how do we get you close enough without getting you killed? She glances around the table.
Since I'm guessing the others will be busy fighting off the griffins that launch once the fireworks start. What's your signet, Atos? Quinn asks.
Above your pay grade, Dane answers, glancing around the table and skipping over Zayden, then making the rounds again, finally sighing.
Any ideas?
Is the quadrant really making Dane keep the memory reading secret? Had him reaching for my head the day Amber burned been a loss of control? How has he gotten this far without telling anyone what his signet is? I shake my head.
Sure.
I pick up Zayden's dragon and shove it toward the keep, planting one mental foot in the archives where I keep my power and using it to lift the dragon figurine into a hover above the structure.
You stop ignoring that you have an incredibly powerful shadow wielder at your disposal and ask him to black out the area so no one sees you land.
She's not wrong, Mira agrees, but her words are clipped.
You can do that? Dane begrudgingly looks at Zayden.
Are you seriously asking? Zayden retorts.
Just wasn't sure you could cover an area that...
Zayden lifts a hand a few inches above the table, and shadows pour from underneath our seats, filling the room and turning it dark as midnight in a blink. My heart jumps as my sight goes black.
Relax. It's just me.
A ghost of a touch skims my cheek. Just him is slightly terrifying. I shove that thought at him, but there's no response. Maybe we have a one-way communication thing going on over here, because I don't think I can talk to him the way he does me.
What had Sigale said about Signets?
It reflects who you are at the core of your being.
It makes sense. Mira is protective. Dane has to know everything.
And Zayden has secrets.
Fuck me, someone says. I can surround this entire outpost, but I think it might freak some people out, Zayden says, and the shadows disappear, racing back under the table.
I draw in a full breath, noting that everyone at the table besides Emery, who has no doubt seen Zayden pull this kind of trick before, looks slightly greenish. Even Mira, who's staring at Zayden like he's a threat she needs to assess.
My stomach turns.
I hope you didn't get any ideas while we were in the dark there, Zayden teases, and just like that, my sympathy for the ass evaporates. I don't bother to face him, just raise one finger. He chuckles, and I grit my teeth.
Get him out of my head, I toss in Tarn's direction.
You'll get used to it, Tarn responds.
Is this normal with all mated pairs and their riders?
For some, it's a great advantage in a battle.
Well, it's a pain in my ass right now. I miss Andarna. We're so far apart that I can barely feel her.
Then shield him out the same way you do me. Or start talking back.
Tarn grumbles.
You have the power to be a pain in the ass, too. Trust me.
And how exactly am I supposed to talk back at him? I give Zayden a heavy dose of side-eye, but he's engrossed in the ongoing battle we've waged against an imaginary keep.
Figure out which pathway into your mind is his.
Oh, joy. That should be easy. We finish the hypothetical operation, each of us using our power to its best ability. Everyone except me. But when it's time to take the griffins out in the air, Tarn overpowers every other dragon in the room.
Good job, Mira says, glancing at her pocket watch. Atos, Ryerson, and Sorengale. I want to see you in the hallway. The rest of you are dismissed.
It's not like any of us have an option, so we follow Mira out into the spiral staircase. She shuts the door behind us and throws up a line of blue energy that covers the entrance.
Sound shield. Dane says with a smile.
Nice. Shut up. Mira spins on the top step, putting her finger in Dane's face.
I don't know what bug has crawled up your ass, Dane Atos, but have you forgotten that you're a squad leader? That you have a very real chance of becoming a wing leader next year?
Oh, shit. She's pissed. And that's not anything I want a part of. I retreat another step. But with Zayden beneath me on the stairs, there's nowhere left to go.
Mira, Dane starts. Lieutenant Sorengale, Mira responds. You're blowing it, Dane. I know how badly you want his job next year.
She points a finger at Zayden.
Don't forget that we've grown up about 10 feet apart. And you are blowing it. Because what? You're pissed that Violet bonded his dragon's mate?
Heat stings my cheeks. She's never been one to mince words, but just, damn.
He is the worst possible thing for her, Dane counters.
Oh, I'm not arguing that, she leans into his space. But there's nothing anyone can do about the choices of dragons. They don't bother with the opinions of mere humans, do they? But whatever is going on between the two of you, that finger swings between Dane and me, is fucking up your squad. If I can see it after 4 days with you, then they sure as hell can tell. And if I'd known that you were going to be such a hard ass with zero flexibility for the things she can't control, I never would have told her to find you after crossing the parapet. She glances at me, then back at him. You two have been best friends since you were 5 years old. Figure your shit out. Dane is so tense, he looks like he might crack in half, but he glances at me and nods. I do the same. Good. Now get back in there. She motions toward the door with her head, and Dane leaves, walking through the shield. And as for you? She walks down 2 steps and pins Zayden with a glare. Is this what she can expect next year?
Atos being an asshole? Zayden asks, leaving his hands loose at his sides. Probably.
Mira's eyes narrow. Mated dragons typically bond riders in the same year for a reason. You cannot expect your assigned wing or her instructors to let you both fly off every 3 days.
Wasn't my choice, he shrugs.
What are we supposed to do? Tell the giant flame-throwing dragons how it's going to be? I ask my sister. Yes, she exclaims, turning toward me. Because you can't live this way, Violet. You'll be the one who ends up missing the training you need, because he's the more powerful of the two of you right now. But if you don't get to focus on your training, then that's how it will always be. You won't ever become who Tarn can push you to be. Is that what you're after, Ryerson?
Mira, I whisper, shaking my head. You're wrong about him.
Listen to me. She grasps my shoulders. He might wield shadows, Violet, but give him his way, and you'll become one.
That won't happen, I promise her.
It will if he has anything to say about it.
Her gaze flickers behind me. Killing someone isn't the only way to destroy them. Keeping you from reaching your potential seems like a great path to the retribution he swore against our mother. Think long and hard. How well do you even really know him?
I suck in a breath. I trust Zayden. At least I think I do. But Mira's right. There are infinite ways to demolish someone without ending their life.
That's what I thought.
The look in her eyes turns to something worse than anger. It's pity.
Do you even know why he hates our mother so much? Why the kids like him are put on the para-
I'm right here, Zayden interrupts, rising to the same step to stand at my side, in case you didn't notice.
You're kind of hard to miss, she retorts.
You're not listening.
His voice lowers.
I am here.
Tarn didn't drag her back to Bazgaiath. He didn't break through her shields and pour his emotions into her. He didn't demand she fly across the fucking kingdom. Your sister is still right here. I'm the one who left my post, my position, and my executive officer in charge of my wing. She's not missing out on shit.
And next year, when you're a brand new lieutenant, what shit is she going to miss out on then? Mira asks.
We'll figure it out. I reach for her hand and squeeze. Mira, he's taken every spare minute he has to train me on the mat for challenges, or take me flying in hopes I'll finally figure out how to keep my damn seat without Tarn holding me in place. She flinches.
You can't keep your seat?
No.
It's barely a whisper, and the heat of embarrassment scorches my skin.
How the hell can you not? Her mouth hangs open. Because I'm not you, I shout.
She rears back like I've slapped her, our hands breaking apart.
But you,
You look so much stronger now. My joints and muscles are stronger because Imogen makes me lift these horrible weights. But that doesn't fix me.
Mira blanches.
No, I didn't mean it like that, Vi. You're not anything that needs to be fixed. I just didn't know you couldn't hold your seat. Why didn't you tell me? Because there's nothing you can do about it. I force a wry smile. There's nothing anyone can do about the way I'm made.
A long, uncomfortable silence stretches between us. For as close as we are, there's still so much we don't share.
She's getting better, Zayden offers, his voice calm and even. The first few weeks were disastrous.
Hey, he caught me before I hit the ground, I argue.
Barely, Zayden grumbles before turning back to Mira. You don't have to trust me.
Good, because I don't, she says. All of that power in the hands of someone with your history is bad enough. But to know your dragons are so tangled up that you can't be more than 3 days from Violet is unacceptable in every possible way I can think.
She goes completely still, her eyes unfocusing.
There's a drift of griffins headed this way, Taryn bellows.
Fuck, the wards are down, Mira mutters, apparently receiving the same alarm from Tiny. She clutches my shoulders and yanks me into a hug. You have to go. We can help, I argue, but she holds me so tightly that I can't move. You can't, and if Taryn is using his power to keep you seated, then he's diminished as well. You have to go. Get out of here. If you love me, Violet, you'll go so I don't have to worry about you too.
She releases me, looking to Zayden as our squad pours out of the door above, thundering by as they run down the steps.
Get her out of here.
Let's go, Dane shouts. Now! Even if you don't trust me, I'm the best weapon you have, Zayden snarls at Mira.
If what you say is true, then you're the best weapon she has. The other half of the squad will be here in moments, and Tiny thinks we have about 20 minutes until griffins arrive.
Mira's eyes meet mine.
You have to get to safety, Violet. I love you. Don't die. I'd hate to be an only child.
There's no cocky grin like when she left me at Besgaeth on conscription day.
Zayden hauls me against his side as Mira runs up the remaining stairs toward the roof.
This can't be happening. There's no way I can flee to safety and leave my sister here, with absolutely zero way of knowing if she's alive or dead.
This feels like the exact sort of thing we'd never hear about in battle brief. No fucking way. Every cell in my body rebels at the thought. No, I fight. But there's no point. He's too strong. Mira, what if you get hurt? Taryn's speed could be the only thing that saves you. At least let us stay.
She looks over her shoulder at the doorway, but there's steel in her expression.
You want me to trust you, Ryerson? Get her the fuck out of here and find a way for her to keep her seat. We both know she's dead if she doesn't. Mira! I scream, clawing at Zayden's arms, but he's already half carrying me down the stairs with an arm clamped around my waist, as if I weigh less than the sword on his back. I love you! I call up the turret, but there's no way of knowing if she heard me.
Can I trust you to get your own pack? Zayden asks as he marches down the hallway of the barracks. Or am I going to have to carry you out of here without whatever you brought?
I'll get it myself, I shove at him, and he lets me go. It takes mere minutes to grab my pack and Rhiannon's, since we've left them intact, even cramming in our cloaks. Then I'm back in the hallway where Zayden waits, his own pack slung over his shoulder.
It looks considerably smaller than the one he arrived with, and I don't want to even think about what he's left behind in order to force me out faster.
I don't bother looking at him, marching for the door, but he grabs my elbow and spins me around.
Nope, it's too dangerous to leave the fortress walls. We're going up.
He wraps his arm around my waist and all but hauls me to the nearest turret. Climb. This is bullshit, I yell at him, uncaring that every other member of our squad who's climbing the same turret can hear. Taryn could help them.
Your sister is right. We have to make it out, so we're leaving. Now fucking climb.
Dane, I argue, realizing he's right in front of us.
He turns around and takes Rhiannon's pack, slinging it over his own shoulder.
For once, Ryerson and I agree. It's not just you we have to get out, Violet. Think of every other first year.
The plea in his eyes shuts my mouth.
Are you going to sentence an entire untrained squad to death? Because I'll make it. Sienna, Emery, and Heaton will too. And we all fucking know Ryerson will. But what about Rhiannon, Riddick, Sawyer? You want their deaths on your hands? He asks, his words choppy as we race upward toward the open door. This isn't about me. We burst onto the roof as Emery mounts his dragon, who is precariously perched on the thinner-than-quadrant wall. Oh, gods, I'm never going to be able to mount Terran at this angle. Riddick and Quinn are already in the air, Liam tells us as Emery launches skyward, where Kath and Day hover, their wings beating the air. You're next, Zayden shouts at Liam, and Day nods. Day crumbles the masonry with the force of his landing, and Liam takes off down the narrow walkway toward the large red dagger tail. You're next, Atos, Zayden barks. Vi, Dane starts to argue. That's an order. There's no room for argument in that tone, and we all know it, especially when Kath takes Day's place on the wall. I've got her. Go. Go, I urge. I'd never be able to live with myself if something happened to Dane on my account. He may have been an ass the last few months, but that doesn't negate the years he's been my best friend. Dane looks like he's about to fight, but finally nods, turning to Zayden. I'm trusting you to get her out. There's a lot of that going around today, Zayden retorts. Now get on your dragon so I can get her on hers. Dane gives me a long, intense look, then turns and runs, racing up Kath's foreleg in a way that's so reminiscent of the gauntlet that I get flashbacks. Where are you? I ask Terran, seeing empty skies above us. Almost there. I was doing what could be done. I can't do this, I say to Zayden, turning in his arms to face him. The others are gone. Call in the favor you owe me. I don't care. We can stay. I can't just leave her here. It's wrong, and it's something she'd never do to me. I have to stay for her. I just have to. There's so much compassion, so much understanding in his eyes, that when he lets go of my waist, I think he might just let me stay. Then his hands are on my cheeks, sliding back to cup the base of my neck as he brings his mouth to mine. The kiss is reckless and consuming, and I give it my all, knowing it might be the last one. His tongue licks into my mouth with an urgency I return, angling to take him deeper. Gods, it's not just as good as I'd been fantasizing about, remembering that night. It's so much better. He was careful with me against that wall, but there is nothing hesitant about the way he lays claim to my mouth, nothing cautious about the ache that pulses low in my stomach. He only breaks the kiss when we're both panting, then rests his forehead against mine. Leave for me, Violet. Almost there, Terran says. Zayden's been stalling to give Terran and Sigael time to arrive. My heart sinks like a rock, pinning my feet in place. I will hate you for this. Yeah, he nods, a flash of pure regret crossing his face as he draws away. I can live with that. His hands fall away from my face and reach for my arms, lifting them so I'm shaped like a T. Arms up, hold tight. Fuck you. The enormous shape of Terran appears behind him, and Zayden drops to the stone floor just as Terran flies directly above, his shadow falling over me a second before his foreclaw scoops me up like he's done countless times when I've fallen mid-flight. You have to take us back. I have done everything I can and will not risk your life. He climbs in altitude, then throws me up onto his back in a practiced maneuver. Now hold on so we can outfly them. I look over my shoulder and see Zayden on Sigael approaching quickly, and farther behind them, hundreds of feet below, a dozen griffins envelop the keep. Chapter 28. A quote from page 80. The Book of Brennan. Winning the war games isn't about strength. It's about cunning. To know how to strike, you have to understand where your enemies, your friends, are most vulnerable. No one stays friends forever, Mira. Eventually, those closest to us become our enemies in some way. Even if it's through well-intentioned love or apathy, or if we live long enough to become their villains. The stone wall outside Professor Markham's office in the Writer's Quadrant digs into my back, irritating my relic as I brace all my weight next to the closed door. I'm ready to crawl out of my own skin with worry and the insufferable buildup of power that's threatening to combust at any moment. It's been 2 days since we left Montserrat. 1 day of flight back to Besgaeth, and one excruciatingly long day of silence. The sun is barely up. I haven't done library duty since returning, and I've somehow managed to get out the door before Liam even knows I'm gone. Breakfast doesn't matter. I couldn't give a shit if I miss formation. This is the only place I can contemplate being. Footsteps on the circular staircase to the left make my stomach tense, and my pulse jumps as my gaze flies to the doorway, looking for the first sign of a cream tunic. Instead, Zayden walks into the hallway, holding 2 steaming pewter mugs as he heads straight for me.
Still hate me?
Absolutely. That's not entirely true, but it's easy to blame all the guilt I've been eating for 2 straight days on him.
Figured you'd already be waiting.
He holds out one of the mugs as an offering.
It's coffee. Sigail says you haven't slept.
It's none of Sigail's business if I'm sleeping, I snip.
But thanks. I take the cup.
He looks like he's had a full 8 hours and a vacation since yesterday. I bet you're sleeping like a baby.
Quit telling Sigail about my sleep habits. I grumble at Taryn. I'm not dignifying that demand with a response.
Andarna is my favorite.
Taryn snorts.
Zayden leans back against the wall across from me and sips his coffee. I haven't slept well since the night my father left Eratia to declare secession. My lips part. That was more than 6 years ago. He stares at his coffee. I pause. I don't even know how old you are now. Mira was right. I know almost nothing about him. And yet, I feel like I know who he is in the very marrow of his bones. Could my emotions be any more scattered when it comes to him?
23, he answers. My birthday was in March.
And I didn't even know. Mine is in July, he answers with a ghost of a smile.
I know. I made it my business to know everything there was to know about you the second I saw you on the parapet.
Because that's not creepy.
I let the coffee warm my freezing hands. Can't know how to ruin someone without understanding them first, he says quietly.
I lift my gaze to find that his is already on me.
And is that still your plan? Mira's words have haunted me for 2 days. He flinches. No.
What changed? Frustration tightens my grip on the mug. When exactly did you decide not to ruin me?
Maybe it was when I saw Orin holding a knife to your throat, he says. Or maybe it was when I realized the bruises on your neck were fingerprints and wanted to kill them all over again just so I could do it slowly. Maybe it was the first time I recklessly kissed you. Or when I realized I'm fucked because I can't stop thinking about doing more than just kissing you. My breath catches at his admission, but he just sighs, lets his head fall back against the wall. Does it even matter when, as long as it changed between us? Don't do that, I whisper, and he lifts his head again to hold my gaze. Don't do what? Tell you I can't get you out of my head? Or speak directly into yours? Either. You could learn to do it too.
Why the hell is it so impossible to look away from him? To remember that kiss on that tower had been a game to him. That this all might be a game to him.
to quell this impossible ache that swirls in my stomach every time I think about him.
Come on, give it a try.
As I stare into his gold-flecked eyes, I decide he's right. I could at least meet him halfway and try. I put one mental foot in my archives and feel power ripple through my veins. Bright orange, crackling energy streams in from the door behind me, and there's a golden light that shines from the window I created just for Andarna. I take a deep breath and turn slowly. And there, swirling along the edge of the roofline, is a shadow of sparkling night.
Zayden.
Footsteps sound on the stairs and we both look.
Guess you two had the same idea,
Dane says when he sees us, coming to stand along the wall beside me.
How long have you been waiting?
Not long, Zayden answers. Hours, I say simultaneously.
Damn, Violet. Dane runs a hand through his damp hair. Are you hungry? Do you want to get breakfast?
No, dumbass, she doesn't, obviously. Zayden's snide commentary fills my head.
Knock that the fuck off, I toss back.
No, thank you.
Look who figured it out.
Zayden's mouth quirks upward for a heartbeat. Another set of footsteps echoes up the staircase and I hold my breath, my eyes locked on the doorway. Professor Markham pauses when he sees the three of us outside his office, then continues toward us.
To what do I owe the pleasure?
Just tell me if she's dead. I move into the center of the hall. Markham looks at me with more than his fair share of disapproval.
You know I can't give out classified information. If there's anything to be discussed, we'll do it in battle brief.
We were there. If it's classified, then we already know about it, I counter, my hands starting to tremble as I squeeze the pewter harder and harder. Zayden takes the mug from me.
It's hardly appropriate for me to...
She's my sister, I plead. I deserve to know if she's alive. I deserve not to hear about it in a room full of riders.
His jaw tightens. There was considerable damage to the outpost, but we lost no riders at Montserrat.
Thank gods. My knees give out and Dane catches me, pulling me into his familiar hug as relief floods my system.
She's fine, Vi, Dane whispers into my hair. Mira's fine.
I nod, fighting against a swell of emotions to keep my control. I will not break down. I will not cry. I will not show weakness. Not here. There's only one place I can go. One person who won't chide me for crumbling. The second I have myself in hand, I step out of Dane's arms.
Zayden is gone.
I skip breakfast and miss formation to head to the flight field, holding myself together long enough to get to the middle of the meadow where I drop to my knees.
She's all right, I cry, my head falling into my hands.
I didn't leave her to die. She's alive. There's a ruffle of air, and then the hard feel of scales against the backs of my hands. I lean forward into Andarna's shoulder, sagging against her.
She's alive. She's alive. She's alive.
I repeat it until I believe it. Do you have any siblings? I asked Zayden the next time we're on the mat. Maybe it's Mira's comment about me not knowing enough about him. Or maybe it's my own conflicting emotions. But he knows way more about me than I do him. And I need to level this playing field.
No? He pauses in surprise. Why?
Just asking. I take a fighting stance. Let's go. The next day, I ask him what his favorite food is in the middle of battle brief, using our mental connection. Pretty sure I hear him drop something at the back of the room before he answers.
Chocolate cake. Stop being weird.
I grin.
A day later, after Tarn puts me through an absolutely draining set of advanced flight maneuvers most third years couldn't stay seated through either, we're perched on a mountain peak with Tarn and Seagal when I ask him how he knows Liam, just to see if he'll tell me the truth.
We were fostered together.
What is with all the questions lately?
I barely know you.
You know me well enough.
He shoots me a look that says he's over it.
Hardly. Tell me something real.
Like what?
He turns in his seat to face me.
Something like what those silver scars on your back are from.
I hold my breath, waiting for the answer, waiting for him to say anything that might let me in. Even from 20 feet away, I can see him tense.
Why do you want to know?
My grip tightens on the pommel scales. I instinctively knew the scars were private, but his reaction says there's more to them than just a painful memory.
Why don't you want to tell me?
Seagal startles, then launches into the air, leaving Tarn and me behind.
Are you pushing for a reason?
Tarn asks.
Can you give me one not to?
He cares for you. That's already hard enough for him.
I scoff. He cares about keeping me alive. There's a difference.
Not for him, there isn't.
The afternoon skies above Besgaeth are crystal clear in the middle of May for the first battle of the war games that signify the approach of graduation. As much as I want to feel excitement that I'm so close to actually surviving my first year in the Riders Quadrant, my stomach is tight with anxiety. Battle briefs are getting more redacted. Professor Carr is getting more anxious that I haven't manifested a signet like almost the entire first-year cadets. Dane is acting weird as fuck, friendly one minute and indifferent the next. Zayden is getting more secretive, if that were even possible, canceling some of our training for unexplained reasons. Even Tarn feels like there's something he's not telling me.
What do you think our assignment is going to be?
Liam asks from my right as we stand in formation in the center of the courtyard with the rest of Fourth Wing.
Dave thinks we're